The story of the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus wasn't under the assault, the enemy was. It was the enemy that was under assault. Well, it looks like Jesus was being attacked. Well, so, let me just say this to you. When Jesus came out of that place in Luke chapter 4, it says the devil left him until an opportune time. And how many of you always heard that to mean Jesus was in a place of weakness, that's why he got tempted, and so he was going to wait for the next place of weakness to tempt him? Jesus was never any stronger than when he had been fasting for 40 days. Opportune time was, there was an opportune time in the Spirit. There was about to be a breakthrough. And Jesus, the very next verse in Luke 4 says, and Jesus went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and his fame spread throughout all the region. Influence spread. Jesus never moved in power until after he went through the temptations in the wilderness. It was an opportune time. It was an opportune time. He was about to bring it. And the enemy was trying to stop him. Anytime, hear me, if you're going through fear, well, God, I'm afraid to give the word, I'm afraid to give a prophetic word, I'm afraid to do this, that's the enemy attacking you because he's scared to death about what you're about to bring. Let me say it again. Get this in you. It's a prophetic word into your life. All the fear things that you all are talking about, I'm so scared, what if I mess up? All those things is the enemy throwing the kitchen sink at you because he's really afraid about what you're about to bring if you go for it. That's the opportune time. He knows this is an opportune time and you're about to bring it, and he's scared to death what you're about to bring, and he tries to stop it. And the whole story of the wilderness was Jesus showing up and going, you've had your 15 minutes of fame, Charlie, and it's done. And I represent the first of millions that are going to be just like me, and your stuff's done. We're taking back the kingdoms of this world for the kingdom of our God and his King. With me? And so this thing about healings, you go, and you've heard me, if you ever heard me teach this before, so again, well, what if I fail? Years ago, we prayed for people, we've seen people get a lot, but I was always ready to give the, well, God's sovereign, and so he loves you. And that's true. But that was kind of not my backup plan, my first plan. I really didn't expect that much healing. And then some years ago, the Lord really began to rebuke me and got me very intentional. And he said, what was normal? This is the question he asked me. What was normal? What mankind was like before the fall or after the fall? So I asked you that question. What was normal to God? Before the fall or after the fall? So all the consequences after the fall are abnormal. And yet we've gotten so comfortable with abnormal, we treat it like it's normal. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's normal in heaven, we should bring to earth. We should, that's our part of our calling. So that, those are real simple things for me, the Lord said. So I began to think, people would come to me and I go, how can I pray? Well, I got this ear infection. I go, that's not normal. And they go, well, I've had it all my life. Well, so? I don't want to just lay down and accept it because it's normal. We've lived with abnormal for so long, we've embraced it as normal, and we don't try to do anything about it. And that's that whole thing I was reading to you. That's to participate and come into agreement with the enemy. You say, well, what about when people don't get healed? This is another word that God spoke to me. He said, just got to be childlike. And little children are this way. The Lord said, if you go pray for somebody and they don't get healed, and somebody comes to you and go, well, what about that? He said, your answer as a little child is, go ask the big people. I don't know. I've just been told to go pray for people. And sometimes they get healed. And it seems like the more I pray for them, the more of them get healed. That's the coolest thing in the world. Because I can tell you about little Fuzz, man, 7 years old. If I got Fuzz and took him out and we prayed for 30 people and one person got healed, that's the one he'd be talking about. And he'd be going, Bobby, let's go down again. Maybe next time too. Right? So be like a little child. Quit trying to come up with the answers. Why do you have to have answers? You know, and that's what that really set me free theologically. Just tell them, go ask the big people. I don't know. I'm just called to be a little child. I don't have the answer. I don't know why everybody were praying. But I do know that we're moving more and more towards, in our culture, stewarding Christ-likeness in this realm too. The prophetic, we flow in the prophetic. But that's the easier one because you don't have near the resistance. There's just deeper unbelief about healing. People hear the word cancer. Oh, cancer. Oh, my God, that's doomed. What's your prognosis? You know, we just think those things. Now, it's not about putting people under guilt. They don't get healed. People don't get not healed because they don't have enough faith or there's sin in their life. That's nonsense. God never puts that on people. I don't know. I think a lot of it's because we still have a Bethsaida environment. There's so much cultural unbelief that there's some restriction, there's some limitation. But if we'll just keep going after it and be very intentional, we can change the atmosphere, we can change the culture, we can change the perspective. And the more people that get healed, the more we change that, right? So you got to go for it. It's about Wimber, the most anointed person I've ever seen. Even of all the guys today who are walking in anointing, I've never seen anybody like Wimber. Amazing. But he was the most unassuming person I've ever met. Big old fat hands. He would wear like Hawaiian shirts and stuff. And just casual guy, really smart guy. But he just was amazing. And but when the Lord spoke to him that I want you to start preaching on healing, and he just said, yes, sir. And so for 2 years, he preached in the Gospel of Luke. And every single Sunday, he talked about healing. And every single Sunday, they were intentional to pray for people. They met in a school, like a lunchroom or gymnasium. And they had this big curtain. And behind the curtain, there was a stage in front of the curtain. Behind the curtain, they would take people to pray for them at the end of the thing. I think part of it because they were afraid if they didn't get healed, people wouldn't see it. Every Sunday they pray for people. Not one person for 2 years. That's 104 shots at it. And proclaiming it publicly. Not one person got healed. And it got so bad that towards the end he said that there were contagious things. We were all catching the things that people we were praying for. And so finally they came this Sunday. They're doing that at the beginning. And nobody's getting healed. People are actually catching stuff as they're praying for them. They're starting to sniffle and stuff. And then he just noticed his staff, and they were on the floor, just beating their hands on the floor, weeping and wailing out of just frustration. You know, and just the horror of it all. And so Wimber got in his car, and he said, that's it. I'm done. No more. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to embarrass myself anymore, put my staff through this horror anymore, the frustration, people getting disappointed. I'm not going to do it anymore. No more. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, John, are you going to speak the truth or are you going to preach your experience? So he said, okay, I'll preach the truth. And so that was Sunday. The next morning, if you've never heard this story, it's a fun story. He gets a call from a young couple in his church, had not been there very long. And the guy had not had a job and had gotten a job like the week before. Or maybe this was his first day for the job. So they had been celebrating that. He calls up Wimber and he said, hey, look, my wife's so sick. She's got like 104 fever. Our little baby, she's red and swollen and sweaty. He said, I can't stay home. He said, do you think you could come over here and sit with her? Like, he didn't know any better. They call Wimber. So Wimber goes, sure. Oh, he said, no, he said, can you come over here and pray for her to heal? He went, he said, oh, sure. And he hung up the phone and said, God. You know, he's like going, he had no faith at all. He said, oh, man. So he said he walks into the house, and he walks, there she is in the bed, swollen, red, feverish, child's crying. The guys wanting to scramble out, but he wanted Wimber, that was his pastor, to pray for him. And Wimber said, I walked over and said, I prayed this prayer, it dribbled off my lip. He said, I had absolutely no faith whatsoever that God would do anything. He said, I got through praying for her. I turned around to walk out, explaining to her that God still loves her, you know, even if you don't get healed, yada, yada. And all of a sudden, he saw the look on her husband's face. He was like, ah! And he turned around, and her face was not swollen. There was no redness. There was no sweating. She was totally healed. So Wimber said, so I got myself together and acted like, oh, yeah, well, of course, that's what Jesus did. Walks out the door being real cool because he wanted to be, you know, gets in his car, shuts the door and goes, cha-ching, yes, Lord, we got one. And he's riding down the road. It's I-5, I think, Michael, in, there in L.A., in Southern California. Does it run through Anaheim, too? Yeah, so he's riding down I-5, which is a really big interstate, and he had his first open vision that he's ever had. He sees this open vision, so he has to pull off on the side of the road. He sees this giant, all across the heavens is this giant honeycomb. And the honey, it's pregnant with honey. And honey's kind of easing out and dripping. And there are some people that are running and protecting themselves from the honey. And others are running around, gathering it in their mouth. And he stops and says, Lord, what are you saying to me? He said, that's my mercy. Some people will receive my mercy and some people won't. But never beg me again to heal people. I heal them because I'm merciful. And I don't need you to beg. I just need you to receive. And that became their breakthrough. And it changed everything. So the story being, did he learn something? Yes. Did he, about mercy, about receiving? Why didn't God tell him that 102 weeks earlier? Why did he let him go 104 weeks without seeing one person healed? Yeah. Because God wants intentionality. And no matter what you've seen, there'll come a place where you'll get tired or you'll get scared or it'll seem too big and you'll want to back down. And God wants to know, he wanted to know from Wimber, are you going to do this because it's the truth regardless of what your experience is? And if you'll keep doing it because it's the truth without any explanation from me, I don't owe you an explanation, just keep doing it, you'll have breakthrough and you'll keep breaking through and breakthrough, breakthrough. That's the story. So go home. Or is here this evening, or out when you go out to dinner, pray for everything that moves, that looks sick. Until you get one. And then keep praying until you get two. Now, and so we're blowing my time. We're not going to get to some of the stuff I thought. But I think trying to create a theology for us to flow in is important. I was thinking about, but in America, we did several conferences at Mike Davidson's Cathedral in Kansas City. And there was a lady there, I forget her name, you remember her name? The cancer lady. Jackie had gotten cancer, stomach cancer, and gotten chemo, different stuff, and gotten better. But then it came back, and it was like stage 4. And she was swollen, she had fluid, she couldn't sleep, she couldn't hardly breathe. And so I took kids with us. Some of the kids, and then Dan and Deborah were there, and I forget who else was there. And we would just do stuff and pray for them. And they got prayer. A couple of teams prayed for them, for her. But Dan and Deborah prayed for them. And these, of all the people I know at a personal level, they steward the gifts of healings better than anybody I know. And part of it because they're just intentional and very childlike and tenacious. I can't tell you how many times I've spent my life in the last few years going, guys, you got to stop praying. The bus is leaving. The airplane's about to take off. You got to stop now. You can't pray for everybody in this hospital. Really, you can't, Deborah. We were in Kampala and she thought she was going to pray for everybody in the hospital or outside the hospital. But Dan, do you remember the word you spoke to her? You just said, Dan said, I don't want you to stop taking your medicine or anything, but I believe that God's healed you. And when you go back to your doctor, I think your doctor's going to tell you that. Very mature. I think God's healed you. I believe God's healed you, but wait till you go back to your doctor. And so we got this text from her husband, just flipping out long text, that he'd gone, and she was totally healed of her cancer. That same conference, Addison, Abigail, the red-headed one, the really pretty red-headed one, Craig and TC's middle child. There was a guy standing next to me, and he was like 60-something, And he had some kind of infection. So remember, his upper lip was real swollen and red, and like he couldn't hardly talk because it was so swollen. So they're standing next to me, and they pray for him and watch this guy's face go down to normal, all the redness in his belly and talk again. That's a couple of good American stories. Tell a story or two. I tell you, it has a good story before I do this one. This was a Brazil story, but Father Mark, tell the story. I gave a big word. I said, God hates cancer. And so we just had our teens pray for cancer, and so you're the one who prayed for that guy. Speak up loud. Yeah, it was on his nose, like a melanoma. Back.
So both of those were healed, and apparently he was waking up every day with blood, his pillow and his bed and all that. And so, and I he may have said that, but I hadn't heard that, but that's what was going on. So.
Yeah, he shared his testimony to the whole 2,000 people that night. His wife would say on his bed, on his pillow, there'd be blood. And so that night when he went home after he got prayer, she said she woke up the next day and there was no blood on his pillow. And his skin was totally normal. And went to take a shower, he'd forgotten about the back, and his back was totally normal too. So he went to the doctor. That was a Friday, Saturday. So he went to the doctor on Monday. They ran tests and cancer free. That's a fun story. Dan, we still got a few minutes. I would ask Dan to take a few minutes too, like there are just a couple of key things that God has shown you guys about healing. And you might need the microphone, Dan, it's right here. Also, for those who went with me to Africa, when I saw Hannington in Kisumu, he gave me a report. Remember Rose? Little 15-year-old who was blind, who got healed. She's now married, and she has two children. And she sent word to me. She said, "I'm very, very happy." She's the worship leader in her area. But this is a little 15-year-old girl who was blind, and we prayed for her. There began to be some change. That's why you don't quit. She was totally blind. We prayed. A bunch of people prayed for about an hour. She could. Things were white. But not light, but things turned to white, but she was still blind, couldn't see anything. So I just spoke this word to her. I said, you know, sometimes, whatever the reason, people will get prayer and they may wake up days later and be healed. And so we had to leave the next day to go back to America. And then I talked to Hannington a month or so later, and he said, oh yeah, I went back there, I guess a couple days later, check on Bubu Kwanga, and she was totally healed, leading people to Christ every day. And so this is post 3 or 4 years, I guess, yeah. So now she's married, has a couple of kids, and leading worship and rocking and rolling. That's a good.
I think that's a perfect example of one of the things that we've noticed about how God will work is sometimes you pray for someone and they don't get healed right away, but they feel something. Like she, when Bishop Chuck started praying for Rose, her blindness was everything looked black. After praying for her for an hour, everything was white, and she was really upset because she still couldn't see.
Yeah.
But we told her, this is an indication that God is doing something. And so sometimes folks will feel heat, or they'll feel electricity, or they'll receive some healing. And our experience is that
tell them the story about the imam that day that was sitting on this stage.
Yeah, okay.
We had an ecumenical healing thing. There was about, I don't know, there was a bunch of people, over 500 people got healed that day. But they had a meeting at first, they had all kind of pastors, also had this Muslim imam. So Dan's sitting next to him.
So as I'm sitting next to him, the Lord says he's got a headache, a really bad headache. And he's had this headache for a long, long time. And if he'll let you pray for him, I'll heal him. And so I told him that when we got a chance. And I, of course, being a great man of faith, I didn't say it exactly that way to him. What I said was, I believe I hear the Lord saying that you have a headache. He said, yeah. And it's a very bad headache. Yes. And you've had that headache a long time. Yes. See, I kind of had worked into it. And I'll tell a story on myself here in a minute if I get a chance. But anyway, so I said, and the Lord tells me that if you'll let me pray for you, he'll heal your headache. He said, no, I won't let you pray for
me. But he admitted all that was true.
Yeah.
He had a headache, had it for a long time.
He would rather stay sick than have somebody pray over him in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are healed instantly. And sometimes, as Bishop Chuck is talking about being intentional, you pray for them a few times. Let me tell you a couple of different stories. One of the ladies in our church came over with her husband a couple of weeks ago to get our pickup, borrow it to pick up something. And she said, I've got a headache. Will you pray for me? And being the great international traveling healing evangelist, of course, I said yes. And what I meant was, as I go through my day tomorrow or tonight or something, and I think about you, well, I'll pray, Lord, heal your headache. And we kind of went on, and they took the truck. And the next day, they come back, and she gets out of the truck and says, I still have my headache. And I said, oh, well, we'll have to pray for you. Well, she says, okay. And she goes in the house to find Debbie. Okay. And so what happened?
Prayed for her headache.
Headache goes away just like that. And
well,
she comes.
Actually, she came in to ask for some medicine, you know, for headache. And I said, what? I said, come over here for a minute. So I took her and I just touched her head and I said, thank you. And she said, oh, yeah. It's better now.
Have to shout or spit at her or anything like that. So, we were in Kenya a month ago or so, and I want to give you an example of kind of how the Lord often operates in healing. It's not just the gifts of healings that's at work, but the other gifts are at work as well, especially the prophetic gifts and word of knowledge and things like that. A lady came up and said she was having pain in her abdomen. She probably had endometriosis, is my guess. And so, not wanting to lay hands on her stomach, I did what I love to do anyway, and that is I found a woman in line behind her, and I got that woman. I said, would you like to help me pray for her? Yes, I'll do that. And so I anointed her hand, and I reminded her about Mark 16, where Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is all believers. This is why in the notes it says that. It's for all of us complete. Of course, if like with this lady, if you don't play, then people stay sick, like when I didn't pray for the lady, but Debbie did. Anyway, So I anointed this lady's hands, reminded her that she has this anointing, activated that anointing in her, asked her to lay hands on the woman that had the pain in her abdomen. And so we prayed for 15 or 20 seconds over this woman, and then asked her, how do you feel? Now, I think this is important when you're praying for healing. Ask folks, were you in pain before? Are you in pain now? Did you feel anything? Did you sense anything from the Holy Spirit? And I always like to tell folks, it's okay to say no. Because you don't want them just telling you stories. You know, you want them to be honest with you about it. And so, did you feel anything? Or do you feel any release of pain? No. Okay, well, let's pray again. And as we were praying again, the Lord showed me, I guess you'd say this is a word of knowledge, showed me that she's holding some resentment against someone, and that's blocking her healing. And so I asked her about this. And I said, are you holding some unforgiveness against somebody, maybe? Oh, yes. Oh, well, do you know who it is? Oh, yeah. And I know what they did. This wasn't the hidden thing that we had to dig out, okay? She's carrying it right on the surface. And so I explained to her that her unforgiveness, that's sin. And the first thing that you need to do, ma'am, is you need to repent for that sin and ask God to forgive you. And so she says, okay, we do that. And then the next thing you need to do is you need to forgive this person. And you need to let God help you do that. And so we pray through that, and she says, yeah. And they said, okay, well, let's pray again for your abdomen and pain. Okay. And so this lady lays hands on her again. And I never touched this lady. And we just, again, a very simple prayer, maybe 15, 20, 30 seconds at the very most, prayed for her, asked her, how do you feel now? Well, the pain is a little bit less. But, you know, it really hurts when I sit down, so I can't really tell for sure. Okay, well, sit down. And so she sat down, and boy, she jumped right up. Yes, I'm healed. She was really excited. And so the lady then that was helping us pray, I took her hand that she had laid on this other lady, and I said, see this hand? God used this hand to heal that lady. What do you think of that? Oh, her eyes got big, this big smile on her face. What did you think of that? Yeah, that was good. I said, now just take that hand and go put that hand on everybody you can find that's sick and let God move through you. I love being able to leave behind. And this is what we did generally there, is we help folks understand God will anoint you to heal the sick. You just got to give him the chance to do that.
And again, don't let, you know, there are things in my body I'm still praying for, wanting to get healed of. Don't let that be the deception that the enemy uses to keep you from going for it. You know, I've mentioned their names before, but I think in the charismatic world, they do a very good job, I think, in a balanced way, Randy Clark and Bill Johnson, with a lot of, they carry a lot of the Wimber anointing on them. They were both influenced by Wimber. And Clark was a vineyard pastor, and the guy who really sort of released him in the spirit was a vineyard pastor, Blaine Cook. And so they're both laid back, and they do, but both of them in 2016, I had to have 3 stents put in my chest, but I didn't have any symptoms. It was the strangest thing in the world. And then the medicine that I took afterwards, you're supposed to take, it's done some stuff. But during that same time, Randy Clark had a heart attack and had to have a stent. And Bill Johnson could have died from a stomach blockage thing. He had to have surgery. Well, they weren't supernaturally healed. But if you go back and listen to their stuff, it hasn't changed one thing about what they're going after, because I believe whatever I'm experiencing, what we're experiencing, and I want to go as far as we can go, Luke and Wood, they're going to be farther, and little Foster's going to be even farther. You know, we're combating some things in the atmosphere and culture, and so we just keep going after like battering rams in this. And I have to say, one of the reasons I think I can, and with Olivia, Livia believes in healing as much or more than anybody I know. She's crazy about believing in power stuff. And yet she can't walk. And so she's not being healed. So I think I can speak about these things without coming across insensitive, you know, or lack of authenticity way up, but some people are getting healed. I understand my wife's not healed. And yet we fiercely believe that God's a healer, and we fiercely believe we're going to see more things happen, get healed. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about being, but what was the principle that I gave you again? What's the number one principle? Move in all the gifts. Step out and move forward in obedience. Step out, move forward. And if you're getting attacked with fear or doubt, that is proof that the devil's scared to death. This is an opportune time, and you're about to bring something he doesn't want you to bring. Get those two things down. Deandra, she stepped out, moved forward, but didn't have to move very far. God met her in a profound way last night. Step out. Just start taking steps forward. He will meet you in profound ways, supernatural ways. And if you're getting attacked, la-di-da. I remember one time telling the real famous prophetic guy, leave it, I sit down and talk to him. And we were saying, our Lazarus weekends, man, so we were getting beat up the week before, all this stuff, flat tires, air conditioners breaking, a ceiling fan flew off the ceiling while the family was sitting at the table, attacked the family. I mean, just crazy stuff. First Lazarus weekend we ever did. You would know, nobody here would know, a lady whose husband's a pastor now is in my living room, and to receive ministry. And all of a sudden I looked at her, and she was sitting on the couch cross-legged, and all of a sudden she was a lizard, like a reptile. And I thought, okay, I've been fasting, I haven't slept a lot these last few days, cause, so maybe I'm, and I looked up, and the other people in the room were like going, because it was real. It just lasted just for a few seconds, and I thought, oh boy, this is what I want to do for a living. I just wanted a nice little church with a fireplace in it, and then bury me in the tombstone says, he was a really nice guy, and all of us liked him. That's all I ever want. But you know, you gotta like just you can't let the flack and the stuff. Matter of fact, make it make you more intentional. You know, go ahead, Deb. I'm sorry.
Well, I was gonna say we can make it really personal too, and it doesn't take going to necessarily have people laying hands on you either. We have authority over our bodies. And when you do get prayed for sure, you need to remind the enemy when he comes, the symptoms or whatever it is of that thing you've been prayed for, and say, no, I've been prayed for. The Lord touched me. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Start claiming those scriptures that we know for healing. And I had chronic urinary tract infections when I was younger, and I've had them like at least once a month. And you know what, ladies, you know what that's about. Yes. I don't know about men, but I think it's worse for men. But having those, and then you take the antibiotics, and then you get the yeast infection, and then you got it. You know, you go through all these cycles. So I was like going to the doctor, getting the medicine, taking the medicine, and this went on for months. And I'm claiming it, and I'm saying, look, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I rebuke this pain. I rebuke this stuff going on in my body in the name of Jesus. So I go back to the doctor with symptoms.
Well, listen,
and he said,
there's a part of the story that you don't want to miss. So had these infections for several months, a little over a year. We were praying for you. Mm. And all of a sudden, the Lord healed her. And the infection stopped. And you went about
a year. Didn't want to say that. I'll tell my story.
I'll just stand there.
Yeah, stay by.
Stand there.
Better over here.
Doesn't make you safe, but you have created distance.
Like there you go. Okay. So I had prayed, and I said, you know, I command my body to be healed in the name of Jesus. I go to the doctor with symptoms again. and took the test, and it was negative. I thought, well, dadgum, if it's negative, I'm not putting up with these symptoms then. Forget it. You know, so I started going on and saying, no, you are healed. And then it's like, you know you're healed, because it's not showing up anymore. So it took months, though, after that. Little by little, the symptoms would get less and less, but I have not had one since. And that was in my 20s, probably. Now, in my 60s,
I was going to say that was 10 years ago.
The thing I was going to tell you, too, that I left out the part about the flak, when we were talking to this prophetic guy, and we were explaining about how sorry we felt for ourselves because of all the warfare and stuff we were going through. And the guy, he looks at us, he goes, well, bless your heart. He said, do you mean to tell me there's a real devil out there? I said, so what do we do about it? He says, it's a war. Get over it. You know, and that's part of the thing is that see, and I love Dan and Deborah one for a lot of reasons, and they love to see other people released in these things. But the thing, for those of you, the thing about turn your head off, you know, too many minds. So Dan's one of my trophies about that, because Dan is a rocket scientist. That's his degree. So it's not about stupid people who believe. You understand what I'm saying? He's a rocket scientist, and so he understands logic. I see him. I hate to go to Africa with him when they're like, it's like 4 trillion shillings is $1, but if the half a shilling somehow not counted out right when you do the exchange, we're there counting it over and over again. I'm like going, him and Scott Howard, I'm going, Dan, it's a, I'll give you the half penny. I'll cut a penny in half and give it to you. and Dan is, am I telling you, lovingly, Dan is the original poster boy nerd. He is. Right? Is that right? And when I would go on these trips, I'll go like, finally in Brazil, I said, Dan, don't you just put a big rotating sign on your head that says, I'm a tourist, please mug me. I said, you walk around these little shorts and these long socks and the plaid shirt and a camera with a lens coming out to here, taking pictures of everything. I'm going, just say mug us, get it over with so there don't be any more suspense. Yes, he is.
And then, of course, I wear this, and that really makes it.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Really, oh, he keeps that thing in his ear all the time. Yeah, there you go. I just wanted to put the pocket thing back and the chain thing on his glasses.
Yeah,
Debbie finally said no to all that.
My wife made me stop using the pocket protector.
But, you know, we have, like, George, I guess it's still true of his foot thing, plantar fasciitis. The one night we were here, this was months and months ago, maybe a year ago, George got prayer. Yeah, so he's really hard time standing on his feet and with his job and stuff he has to. God healed him that night. He hadn't had a problem since then. That's just a recent example. Arcella, who played the piano last night, when she was little, she got what was the thing? She was too little. It wasn't the kissing disease. What is that thing? Mono. She got mono. Yeah. And so she got mono, and like if mono goes away, it still shows up in your blood work for 2 weeks. And so we prayed for her like on a Friday night, and so this was a long time ago, and the next day she's no better. We prayed for her again on Sunday. All the symptoms went away. Took her to the doctor on Monday. There was no sign that she had ever had mono. That's just an old example. So we see stuff here. We've seen people here cancer. But we're going after more. But the point is, be intentional. Go after it. You know, one of the things that we're doing now is that we, like on As in Words, there should be some proclamations on there. They're all about who we are in Christ. They're just scriptural things that you can just, in your prayer life, begin to proclaim as you sort of create an atmosphere of faith, renew your mind. But I'm going to be posting some about healings and other stuff here soon. Other people have done this. I'm certainly not original in doing this. But so it's just a good way of kind of renewing your mind in your prayer life, becoming very intentional, sort of setting the scene mentally and emotionally. All righty? All right. Well, we need to stop before Mark falls out in the pew, into the floor. When you look at somebody and go, okay, that's a hit.
This is
him. All righty. Well, bless you. We're just 7 minutes later than we thought we were going to be. That's not bad, huh? So tonight we'll see what God does. We're going to do a lot of ministry, a lot of healing stuff, see what God's going to do, take the gifts out for a spin again. I can tell you this, because I won't get to say goodbye to all of you personally tonight. It's just been a joy having you here. I love you being here. Thank you for coming. I think it's been a great conference. We've grown in a lot of stuff together, but you got to go home and take this step out. Be intentional. Don't let go. You know, keep going after it. Again, DeAndre was the model. Step out. Move forward. You won't have to go very far in obedience, and God will meet you. Take all the flack as evidence that you're about to bring something the devil fears with me. And the thing we did earlier, we have to be more intentional because of the atmosphere we're in. But you, Jesus Christ, lives where now? Not just in heaven, but you. You can do something about it. It's irresponsible. It's turning your eye to evil. It's like sitting in your car and watching somebody get beat up, and you could do something about it, but you don't because it's just too much trouble. That's terrible. You know, that's happened a lot, like in New York, where there'll be some woman who'll be getting mugged, and people will be in the apartments, and I'll just look out the window and watch it. We can't be like that. You can do something about it. You're in Christ. Do something about it. Amen? All right, love y'all. Y'all get some rest. See you this evening at 7.